On the Record on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up. The new equation.
We are joined online by the Minister for Finance and President of the Eurogroup, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon. Plenty to talk about, but obviously we'll keep it to your own brief first and foremost. Obviously, the decisions made by Cabinet last Friday will have some significant impacts on those in the hospitality sector. They will be wondering exactly what sort of supports they will have made available to them to get through these tough times. What exactly does the government have in mind?
The government will be doing two things in particular. The first one is that we are going to amend a scheme that we have had in place to support businesses when their premises are closed, to allow that scheme to be used for when premises are open and impacted by a health regulation. And the sector that will benefit the most from this, because they need the support, is the hospitality and accommodation sector. And we estimate that will deliver an additional 60 to 70 million euro every 4 weeks to support all who work in such an important part of our economy. And secondly, then, the rates waiver that we've had in place, we're going to extend into the first quarter of next year to help with a big cost that that sector has. And then finally, particular schemes that have helped, for example, the live entertainment part of our economy, they will receive additional funding to help them cope with the impact of the new public health regulations on their business.
Okay, just for clarity, because there will be some people wondering about this since it was announced on Friday, the extension of the rates waiver for the first quarter of next year, does that only apply to those who are in the hospitality or accommodation sectors, or does that apply to all businesses of all sorts?
It would be mostly aimed at those who are in the hospitality and accommodation sector, and the Minister for Housing will be able to confirm the detail of this next week.
Okay, but it's not going to be a blanket provision for all people in all sorts of different retail environments.
I understand that what the Minister and the Department are doing is say if there are ways of making it targeted, but what we will ensure is those who need the support the most definitely receive it.
So the targeted scheme for the hospitality sector, which as you've said is going to be the one that's most badly hit by all of this, when is that actually going to be fully up and running, or when can people begin to start receiving payments out of that?
We're going to make the scheme available for access this week. The money will begin to flow from us the week after next. So we will have the scheme up and running for registration in the coming days. We'll confirm the detail of it by the middle of the week. And then what we will do is we will backdate the first payment so that businesses will in effect benefit for 2 weeks worth of payments when they receive their initial payments.
So is that in effect then an admission that the decisions that were made on Friday are only compounding some difficulties that they would have had trading in the days leading up to that?
Yes, we accept that the decisions that we've made have a particularly large impact on the hospitality sector and our hotels, our pubs, our restaurants and all who are working in them. We accept that if you look at where we are now in our efforts with this disease, many parts of our economy, while it's still challenging, are making progress. But our hospitality sector, which had made an awful lot of progress since the summer, has now and is facing challenges across the month of December. And I accept that the change that we've made in public health guidance has a very particular effect on them. And that's why we're trying to move away from very big general support schemes that have really worked and have worked in saving our economy to looking at things that are more focused on those who are experiencing the greatest difficulty.
The employee wage subsidy scheme payments that were being made to try and contain the link between employers and their employees while they're out of work, that was tapered off a couple of days ago. There'll be a lot of people who would think that one of the easiest things you could do is bring it back to the original level, because it would help to make sure that when these businesses do get back up and running, that they will still potentially have the same staff on their books rather than running the risk of those staff moving into other paid roles and then making it even harder to reopen. Would you consider doing that?
So not at this point, and it isn't. The government has adopted an alternative approach in the decision that we've made. And the reason for that, Gavin, is with the employment wage subsidy scheme, it's economy-wide. We don't have the ability, and we certainly don't have the ability quickly, to be able to vary it for different parts of our economy and our country. So if we change the employment wage subsidy scheme plan, it would mean that all companies who are on it would go back up to a rate that we were running during the lockdown and when we were trying to reopen our economy.
But would it all still qualify, though, Minister? Because you could say that if a lot of the other businesses or other sectors are still able to trade as normal, that they wouldn't need to fall within its remit in the first place.
But what we have done is companies that are currently on the employment wage subsidy scheme, we will keep them on us as we move into next year, as long as they're registered up to the end of this year. And the reason for that, Gavin, is we want to stand by the commitment that we don't deliver a cliff edge effect where any company goes from receiving a large level of support to nil over a few weeks. So what we are doing is continuing to implement the plan that we have in the employment wage subsidy scheme. And at the moment, 57% of those who are on the employment wage subsidy scheme are not directly affected by the change in the public health guidance. But for those who are affected by the change in the public health guidance, and in particular affected by the change in our public health regulations, we're adding on top of that a big change in a scheme that is aimed mostly at the hospitality sector. And our modelling says that all businesses who, for example, are in hospitality will receive all or for many most of what they would have received if they had been on the previous version of the wage subsidy scheme.
Okay, so ultimately it might be a change of regime, but you don't believe that they're going to be out of pocket in any other way?
There is going to be a change of regime by how we are changing the support scheme that we used to have in place that required the premise to be closed. Do I think every single business who's on it will see the total level of support that they're receiving be unchanged? Probably not. But we are certain from the work that we've done that all businesses will receive most of what they would have received under the old version of the wage subsidy scheme. And indeed, many businesses may receive the same amount.
The caps that you're implementing for this new scheme, which is targeted for hospitality, the maximum weekly payment is around €5,000, which sounds like a lot of money when you say it out loud. But if you think about larger hotels, and this would be their real harvest season where they'd be getting a lot of revenue in now, yeah, that would sustain them for January, February, March, €5,000 for a week for a hotel isn't really a huge amount of money.
So we're considering that at the moment, Gavin, and you do make a fair point. The changes that we've made and the scheme that we are opening up now in the coming days was all done really, really quickly. We've tried to respond back as quickly as we can to issues that we accept are there. What we have done is said that at this point, for small and medium-sized employers, we do believe the €5,000 cap is appropriate. The vast majority of companies who receive payments are actually well below €5,000. But what the government agreed to on Friday is we'll make a decision next week for larger employers regarding what the cap should be, because we do understand that for some, particularly larger businesses who are large employers, that 5,000 cap may need revision. So we will confirm what that larger cap will be for larger employers in the next few days.
There's also some concern among some people, and we'll be talking to them later this hour, who are concerned that if you happened not to qualify for these supports in December, let's say you weren't trading in December 2019, or if you had a bad Christmas 2 years ago for one reason or another, and your turnover wasn't down far enough as a result, that you mightn't qualify for December, and that means that the door shut on you and you wouldn't get any support through the springtime either.
Well, we'll do all we can to ensure that businesses that are affected by this in December do move on to the scheme. But the access criteria that we have set up, both for the employment wage subsidy scheme, which up to this point now has now invested €8 billion, our wage subsidy schemes have put €8 billion back into our country, are very broad to facilitate as many companies as possible being on it. And I'd make the point for now, we're responding back really quickly to things that are changing really quickly. But the government has shown again and again that we will put in place schemes that help our economy and help our country get back to work. And what we have done has worked. We now have more people working in Ireland than we did before the pandemic. And that's because we had excellent support schemes in place and we did it really quickly. and we're able to use the benefits of good national finances to help those who needed the help the most. Okay. And we'll continue with that approach. But we are in a kind of a different place now that we need to look at what works sector by sector, as opposed to general schemes for an economy that has parts of our economy within it that are beginning to make progress.
Okay, I know it's not directly under your remit, and I'll move on after this, but as regards the PUP, which is to be outlined again this week by the Minister for Social Protection, do you know or can you indicate to us whether that's going to be paid at the original, the high rate of €350, or when it's open for new entrants, will it be paid at one of the lower rates?
And my expectation is that it will be paid at the higher rate. We absolutely appreciate that there are some who are working in, for example, our nightclubs, to give a very concrete example, that now find that their employment has gone nearly overnight. And we fully understand and appreciate the shock that that is creating for those who are working in that sector. So Minister Humphreys will outline that plan in the coming days, but I'll simply say we appreciate that there are a group of workers in a really important part of our hospitality sector in particular who are finding themselves unemployed again, all over again, within a year. And we have a particular responsibility to them.
Do you believe that the decisions that were taken by Cabinet to introduce those restrictions, do you believe that they're actually necessary? Because Leo Varadkar, your party leader, is on the front page of the Business Post acknowledging that they are peculiar. He says, I don't think we can act out of an abundance or excess of caution forever. And he's pointing out that these new restrictions are kicking in at a time when the number of people in hospital is broadly declining.
Well, we all in government accept that these measures do need to be implemented. But I think what is important to acknowledge is perhaps the rationale for measures like this are beginning to change. I mean, what the Taoiseach is pointing to is that there are some early signs of our current efforts working. The number of people that we have in hospitals, we saw some signs now that it was at a four-week low. We're seeing that the case numbers amongst our older citizens are beginning to slightly change, but change in a positive way. And while our level of community transmission is still high, it hasn't continued to increase at the pace that it did a few weeks ago. So the measures that we are putting in place do recognise that we're moving into a part of the year in which there'll be a high level of socialisation, and we have a variant, the effect of which is still unclear. So the government does believe these measures are necessary, but as the Taoiseach and others have said, the rationale for these measures, has evolved as we have done battle with the disease.
You are among the many ministers who are reported in some of today's papers as having expressed some annoyance at different cabinet meetings on Friday, whether at the subcommittee or at the full ultimate cabinet meeting, about some of the confused communications. And obviously you at cabinet signed off on the decision that now all COVID communications had to be handled centrally by the government, which includes NPHET pronouncements or any interviews given by NPHET members. Can you just explain for those who don't fully understand why that was necessary, why you believe it is necessary to centralise communications like that?
I believe NPHET have done an exceptional public duty to all of us by advising and helping and guiding our country through the most incredible challenge that we could have imagined that has now been going on for longer than many would have hoped. What we do need to ensure as we move into this phase of ultimately containing COVID and getting to a better place with the disease is simply make sure that all our communications are coordinated and that we're all broadly aware of the impact of what we are saying and the impact that it can have on particular parts of our country and our economy.
How will it change then? What are the issues, or what would have happened that the Cabinet regrets happening? Or what? Give us an example of something which shouldn't have happened, which would not happen under this new system.
I'm not going to kind of go into the detail of discussions that happen in Cabinet, Gavin. I hope you appreciate that.
No, I do, of course, but there must be something that's happened in public which has cast some doubt in public minds as to what the advice is that you're trying to tackle here.
You don't react unless
there's something's gone wrong, so to speak.
I would just make the general point that as we are dealing with the effect of the disease on our economy and then our country overall, I do think it's really important important that we are coordinated in our public health messaging and do all we can to deliver a single set of guidance to the country regarding what could happen in the future. And Essex have done an exceptional job in helping us through particularly the darker moments of dealing with this disease. But we do have a challenging number of weeks and months ahead, despite some positive signs, and we all need to coordinate our efforts so that they're as effective as possible.
But there'll be some who will say that a measure like this is disproportionate, because it now means that the likes of, you know, Cillian de Gascoigne was on this programme on this time slot last week talking about just the origin of new variants and where they come from and how science responds to that. And it was a very scientific interview, and that's the sort of interview now that he can't give without getting official government sanction in advance. And people will wonder why it's necessary, because, you know, it wasn't the fault of Neffert that Tony Houlihan's letter about under 12 socialising was published by the government itself last week with no accompanying comment as to whether it was now officially binding advice or not. It wasn't Neffert's fault that the only minister available to the media on Tuesday wrongly told us that masks in schools were going to be optional. It wasn't Neffert's fault that the government never actually announced the 48-hour delay to the pre-flight PCR antigen test. There are a lot of communications issues, and a lot of them won't be addressed by telling Neffert members they can't speak.
I think that's a... What I'm aware of is that as you're responding back really quickly to changing circumstances, I accept that on a number of occasions there were ways in which we could have got communication clearer and more accurate and responded back to specific issues that have been put to us. But Gavin, all we are looking to do here is ensure that our efforts are coordinated and have the effect that we all want. There are no circumstances at all in which the need for an effort to respond back to issues of public health, or indeed to engage in the kind of interviews in which you've just touched on, are in any way going to be prevented or stopped. We want to and appreciate that we're at a point now in which there are high levels of fatigue, high levels of anxiety on parts of our economy that are really concerned about their future. And we just want to put our best foot forward in responding back to that.
Well, you mentioned just that you don't believe that members of Neffert will be constrained from offering interviews like that. Well, we know for a fact that there were several members of Neffert who were intending to or were happy to give interviews this weekend, and they've now been told that they are unavailable to us. But I'll just leave it there, because there's one other issue that I do want to address, which is on page 2 of today's Business Post. The Social Democrats TD Kian O'Callaghan, the party spokesperson on housing, has obtained under Freedom of Information a briefing note prepared for you a couple of months ago about the question mark of multiple apartments being left empty in apartment blocks by big landlords. The prepared answer for you was that this was only a temporary aberration, and that once COVID went away, you thought that would be addressed. Do you genuinely believe that once COVID is gone, that there won't be large tracts of empty apartments in our capital and beyond?
Well, Gavin, briefing notes are prepared for me all the time on different issues and on different matters that are relevant to me. But there's a really big, big fundamental difference between a briefing note being prepared for me and me being told what to say. My department brief me very regularly on different issues that are coming up and give their views. My own view is that there are... some apartments, there are some properties that I do believe should be brought back into use. And what the article neglects to make full reference to is that in the Housing for All strategy, we've made clear we are going to bring in a vacant property tax. But what we want to do before we do it is get the data through from the local property tax information that's currently being collected to help us with the design of that measure.
Okay, so it's a suggested answer, but they're not telling you what to think. Is that it?
Completely. The idea that any briefing note, or indeed any civil servant or any department, tells any minister what to say is just completely wrong. What we are doing, what we are provided with, is perspectives and views. But those who provide us with those perspectives and views do so with a full recognition that it's up to every minister to determine what they believe the answer is to any question, like I'm doing with you, Gavin, like I do in every interview I do. And it is not something that a department or a civil servant determines.
Okay, well,
ministers are offered advice, offered input, but we ultimately decide. That's what I do all the time.
Well, we appreciate you giving us your views on that and everything else we've asked you about. We'll leave you go. Thank you very much for your time this lunchtime. Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, there joining us on The Record.